Well, I'm not going to be long today. We've heard a good word already from
John.
I'm going to call you Jim. About covenant. We've been going through these passages of 1 Kings talking about Elijah the last couple of weeks because that's what's in the lectionary. And the passages are fascinating and deep. And there's no way in 5 or 10 minutes to do any of them justice. Janet Green came up with, after the service last week, and reminded me that there could always, more could always be said about the wonderful prophet Elijah. And I was thinking about the passage again today about the flour and oil, and a lot can be said about this passage. And it really depends on what kind of reading lens you pick up to look at these passages of Scripture. But I just want to think a little bit about this question. Is it worth our taking the risks that we take in service? Just for a minute. When I read this passage, of course, having grown up in traditions where there's not a lot of self-reflection about the Bible, there's all sort of negative images that at first come up when I read passages like this. I think, yeah, it brings up, here comes Elijah. He asks this poor widow woman with nothing left for her last bit of food. You know, my bristles come up on my back when I think about the negative associations, you know, with the problems we encounter still today in our quote-unquote modern and enlightened world with the relative power men have over women and men's requiring of vulnerable women that they meet their needs no matter what. It's sort of an almost abusive kind of situation. I bristle at that. I also remember this passage being preached an awful lot in churches when I was growing up on Stewardship Sunday. You know, you put your little last little penny in and God's going to give you that Cadillac you've always been wanting. You're going to get that mansion up on the hilltop. Don't worry about it. Just dig down in them jeans. Come up with them greens. Don't make me hot. Don't make me shout. Turn them pockets inside out. But maybe there's more to be said about this passage. We hope so. And of course, you know, we ask the question of this passage, is this documentary history? Gee, I hope not. I mean, can you imagine if there were a person who was hungry or famished and went to the door of a person to find some relief and knocked on that door, and a little widow woman hobbled out with her son about to perish beside her and said, this is the last meal I have. Are there any options? You know, gee. I might say, you know, I'll check next door. You would hope that people of goodwill would do that. So I doubt that this really is documentary history. I imagine that this story is written as history remembered to tell us something metaphorically and symbolically that's important about giving and about sustaining the word of God in the land. And when we frame it that way, it makes a whole lot more sense. Remember, Elijah is going up out of the land of Israel. He's been called out of the land of Israel according to the text. But we really know he's running away from the land of Israel because he's being chased by the king and his wife, who have already killed at least 100 of the prophets of Yahweh, because these prophets of Yahweh, Adonai, have been saying, listen, you can't take anybody's land you want and kill the person to get it. You can't put up idols in the temples of God. You can't ignore the laws of the Torah. There are ways that we run society. You just can't barrel over that. You can't marry that king of Phoenicia's daughter, Jezebel, just because you want more power and territory and squelch all the rest of us under your iron heel. Well, that was not going over well with the king. So he was killing people. And so here is the prophet of God running away to avoid death because he was proclaiming the word of God, the word of justice, and the word of right relationship in a hostile environment. And the king has chased him out of the land. It's interesting when you think about this passage. I think that this passage, when I read it, I thought of the word palimpsest. Have any of you seen, if you've been in museums, have you seen this old fella that had been scraped off? The original writing has been scraped off, and then some other kind of writing has been written over it. And often a palimpsest, this is what happened in the old days when Novella is scarce. Actually, there was a rule in the late 600s that you could never destroy a passage of scripture or a writing of one of the ancient commentators on scripture. So instead of destroying those, they would scrape the writing off of them and write over top of them again. And so you get a story with a story on top of it. And sometimes you could look under that scripto inferior and you could see that there's a relation between the story underneath, the sub-story, and the story on top. And kind of this is what we have today. We have a relationship between the story underneath and the story on top. Here's Elijah, who is vulnerable. Here's Elijah, who has risked his life to keep God's word alive in the land. He's been preaching against injustice and violence, the violence of those in power. He's been hunted like a dog. His zeal to keep the word of justice and right relationship alive has put him at risk of his very life, and he finds himself vulnerable. And then there's this widow who is not an Israelite. She's a Gentile. And she, like Elijah, is vulnerable. And common sense tells her to save her life and not give up her food to the prophet. Just like common sense might tell Elijah, shut up, for goodness gracious. And what Elijah says in verse 13 is very interesting. Do not be afraid. Go, do what you plan to do. Make some food for you and your son, by all means. But make a little cake for me, too. And that jug of oil will never run dry. And your flour jar will never be empty. That's a risky kind of proposition for the widow. But it's also, it mirrors, in a way, the risk Elijah is taking when God says, you proclaim the word of God no matter what, no matter what the cost is to you. It sounds to me that Elijah telling the woman to do this is something that only a person who has been fed by angels and ravens out in the wilderness might say. He knows that if we take a little risk to keep the word alive lame, there will always be enough provided for our own well-being. This is an interesting point, and I guess what I can take away from this today, and you may take away some other things, is that perhaps it's not just the great, lone, chosen one, the special one, the gifted one. Perhaps it's not just these kind of people. And sometimes we look to these kind of people. Perhaps it's not just those kind of people who are going to ensure that God's word of justice and righteousness survives in the land. Because guess what? If the woman doesn't feed Elijah, what's going to happen to him? He's going to perish, and the word of God is going to disappear from the land. But perhaps all of us, regardless of who we are, regardless of our perceived ability or vulnerability, are asked to take some risks to ensure that God's word is heard in the land. And perhaps it's all of us who are presented with a challenge that involves giving up something we consider dear. But that challenge is really an opportunity for us to choose our own well-being and thriving, and not only the well-being of ourselves, but the well-being of others. Because guess what happens to this woman? If she had said, no, Elijah, you can't have any of my food, go next door, she would have had just enough, according to the story, oil and meal for herself and her son to die. But in taking the risk to make the little cake for the prophet, to keep the word alive, not only has she kept the prophet alive, but she has guaranteed her own survival and thriving. What risks are we taking in order to keep the word of justice and right relationship alive in our land? Some forms of our giving, some forms of, this is a church that believes in service, and we do service. Some forms of our service really don't require much of us, but still they're great. They're wonderful things. I think Doug was talking to Carmen the other day about the bike drive. Our youth have been doing a tremendous job in gathering old bikes, bikes that nobody is using, fixing them up, and providing them to people who need transportation in Licking County. And that is a fantastic project. And I remember that Doug told me on Friday night when we were over at the Dacus's pool, he said, I was interviewing Carmen, something very interesting was said by Carmen. Carmen said, he asked her, what her giving meant to her, and something about what it had costed her. Not Carmen, who asked. but no, not like a fireman. Kind of walk on. What her giving had cost her. And Carmen said, well, you know, I guess if I hadn't been doing this, I would have gotten better at my video games. I would have got more summer reading done. And that giving really doesn't cost all that much. And the good that we receive from it far outweighs the risk that's involved in providing it. Think about the sandwiches we make back there. Our sandwiches are a blessing to people, but the good that is provided by that far outweighs any kind of risk, you know, that we take in providing those things. We preachers are always telling people, I will shut up real soon. We preachers are always telling people, you know, be good citizens, be honest, you know, don't lie to people, obey the laws of the land so that we have good reputations. But really, that doesn't, you know, be generous. That doesn't really cost us anything to do those things. We can be kind without making any kind of trouble or being at risk to ourselves. We can do good and be generous and give sandwiches out to people without making any kind of trouble for ourselves. Matter of fact, it makes us feel better. We tell our kids, you know, grow up to be good people. Make good decisions when you're young. Don't make decisions you're going to regret. Work hard. Try to choose good company. You know, and all those things are good things, but really they don't involve a whole lot of risk. They're things that are going to pay off far more to us than what we would risk in not doing those things. The question for us today, and this question about Elijah, is what are you willing to risk to be of service to people? Are there forms of giving that are going to get you in trouble? And are you willing to take those risks? Because that's what's sometimes necessary to keep the Word of God alive in a culture. And in those kind of cases, people who are watching you do the work of the prophet are likely to say, get out of Dodge, we don't like to hear this. And that's what this church did way back in the 1990s when we first decided to be an opening and affirming church to people who were minorities. And that caused some riffraff, like some riffraff, to come out, some backlash against this church. People protested this church because of that stand that we took. It cost us something. It was a risky move. They got us kicked out of our church association. When we think about having a service that focuses on gun control, you think that that wouldn't be such a risky thing to do. But did you know we got 3 pieces of hate mail after we did that service in February? 3 people were upset enough at us as a church to have a service about violence, gun violence prevention, to have written long notes to us protesting that we did that. Sometimes we're going to get that kind of feedback. What do you think is going to happen if we stand up and say, listen, we can't allow corporate America to squelch the rights of labor like they've tried to be, like capital has tried to do for the last 150 years in America. We need to stand up for the rights of labor. Think that's going to be taken well by people. People are going to stand and get mad about that. But there are some times that we need to take risks in order to keep the Word of God alive in them. What is God asking you? What kind of risk is God asking you to take to keep the Word of God alive in this life? And maybe the key phrase of this text is found in verse 13. It was a word of God to Elijah. It was Elijah's word to the widow. And perhaps it's God's word to us. You know, the word will survive. You need to help that happen. Do not be afraid. Because your jar will never come dry. And you will always have enough and more than you need for yourself. That's right. Lord, we thank you for this prophetic congregation and the friends that we have who joined us today from Circle of Mercy, another prophetic congregation, a congregation that believes in keeping the word of justice and right relationship alive in this world. We pray that you would give us courage, help us not to be afraid. And as we try to be in covenant with other people of like mind and serve together, we pray that you would increase our fellowship, increase our ability to work together effectiveness to the work of the gospel. Yes, this is Jesus.